Welcome to K-First. If you're new with us, my name is Dave Barringer. I'm the pastor of K-First. And just welcome you all here. And I think five of you have already said, why didn't you wear a shirt today? Camouflage jokes. So I'll let you guys save that joke. I've been hit a number of times already today. If you're here, you have your Bibles. You open up the book of Genesis. Just kidding. We've been doing that for 7 weeks. Go to the book of Hebrews. Church jokes. Really, Pastor Dave? Book of Hebrews. We are kicking off a brand new series today. It's weird to say that we are not in a series called Dreams and Drama. We have been doing that since September. And we're coming up on November, which is just crazy, crazy cool. I love the fall. I do not like when the leaves don't change like they should be changing. I love the colors. I love driving through Michigan. We literally live in the best state. And I say that by faith going into the winter stuff. The series is on faith. Why not say things by faith? All righty. Hebrews, chapter 11. I'm going to read out of the ESV today. If you have never read the book of Hebrews, I would highly, highly encourage you to read Hebrews. It is one of my favorite New Testament books. And starting in chapters 11 through 12, you need to get rid of the 12 and just read it all together. Do it this afternoon or this evening, this week. Read chapters 11 through 12 because they are connected. This is all about faith. If you've ever heard of a Hall of Fame, like in Kent, Michigan is the Football Hall of Fame. This is what we would call the Hall of Faith. It has been historically referred to as the numbers of men and women who were honored because of their level of faith. And so we go into a series called The 13th Floor, and we'll talk about that in a second. We're going to go into a series on faith. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The New Living Translation says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. We, this morning, are going to really break down. And what I want to do is, I don't want to make faith easy. I want to make it simple. And I've understood in life, the simple things are not always the easiest things to do. And when it comes to this idea of faith, my goal today is to give an introductory message to a series that gets our feet on the path of fully understanding faith. Because the more that I talk with believers and people who've grown up in church, there are a lot of kooky ideas about what faith is. A lot of weird ideas or just misunderstood ideas about what faith is. And over, I get hit up as a pastor with messages that just says, Pastor, you're a man of faith. Would you pray with me over this? I'm like, well, aren't you a person of faith? Not like you, Pastor. You're a person of faith. Obviously, I'm a Lions fan. I'm a massive person of faith. Thank you for the amen over there. But the idea that we get from this passage, and in particular, these two translations of this particular verse, is that faith itself is something that is more than just lingers out there in some astral field above us, or it's there for a couple people. But faith, I believe, is the sixth sense that God has given to all of us to apprehend the kingdom of God. Let me say that again. I believe faith is that sixth sense that God gives all of us, not a few of you, not just a joker on the stage. He gives it to all of us to apprehend the kingdom of God, the reality of the kingdom of God. Faith is not for the religious elite. Faith is not for those that completed the faith class. Faith is just not for a few leaders or board members or staff members. Faith is for all of us. And it's there for not just us to see, but us to access. It is this beautiful thing called faith. And when we access faith, it helps us to understand and to move and to operate in the presence of God. And it's for all of us. Whether you've been attending church for this week or you've been attending church like me, you grew up like you came out of the womb and you went right to church. I grew up in church. I met Sunday nights, Sunday mornings, Saturday mornings, whatever was going on, that's where I was there. And maybe you're brand new today or maybe you're like me. It doesn't matter. What does matter is this, is that you are here. The presence of Jesus is in here. And according to the book of Romans, he's given all of us a measure of faith. And you and I are people of faith. We move in faith. And so my heart today is to make faith understandable and attainable for all of us. Some of us are so bent on finding somebody of faith to help, not understanding that God has given you a measure of faith. And he wants to work in your life. And we have gotten to this mode where we see somebody that is moving in faith, and so we automatically lean upon their faith for something else to be done. But understand that God doesn't just want to work in the people around you. He wants to work in you. And if we would step into faith, I believe, according to Ephesians, that we say it all the time here, that God will do immeasurably more than we've asked or imagined. Not immeasurably more in other people, immeasurably more in you. He wants to do it. He wants to do it. If you are taking notes and you need a title for today, would you write the words, the preview? The preview. What's a preview? It is the necessity of every movie. I don't know if you go to the movies. Anybody go to the movies? I don't. I read my Bible. I'm kidding. Somebody like, oh, we're sinners. No, I just go to Christian movies like Jurassic Park and Avengers, things like that. But it's just something that Ethan and I have done for years, but we have a rule that we can only go to the movies if we can make it to the previews. And you've heard me talk about that. It's just the necessity. If you are going to the movie and missing the previews, you're doing it wrong. And the truth is not in you. I'm kidding. Sort of. And I've talked about it before. Ethan, I love doing the thumbs up and thumbs down, but Ethan is actually getting quicker when it comes to the previews on the thumbs up and thumbs down. In fact, if there is a romantic comedy preview coming up, he just groans. He doesn't do thumbs up or thumbs down. He just groans. And if the music for Jurassic Park shows up or starts up, he doesn't even wait for the preview to be done. He's got two thumbs that are out. I mean, he is just pumped. And if he hears the music of a DC movie, he's already doing thumbs down because they all flop. And so Ethan and I, just love going there because the idea is if we can see what's coming, it gets us excited for what may happen. Because the previews are meant to be appetizers or teasers. They are meant to give you a glimpse in a matter of a minute or 2 minutes of something that is coming that gets your heart thinking, I want to come back because I want to get more of what I saw. This is faith. Faith is our preview. When we have faith and exercise faith in the moment, it gives us a preview of that which God wants to do more of. And it's not to give us a glimpse and to walk away, but it builds up anticipation. And it gets us to want to show up again because we know that there is more. Faith is preview. And we as a people of God are called to live by faith. Romans chapter 1 verse 17, Paul says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. The righteous live by faith. Well, Pastor, what is faith? I'm glad you've asked me that question. If you've looked at your bulletin, you've read our preview, our write-up, we call it our write-up for the series. The idea came, it was months ago, I think it was back in May. I knew I wanted to preach a series on faith. Then all of a sudden, somebody handed me a little tag. It is a, looks like a hotel keychain. And I looked at the keychain and I felt like God just kind of spoke to my heart, kind of brought back to my mind this image, this metaphor that would ultimately become the name of our series, The 13th Floor. Because there is this folklore, this idea that in a very tall hotel that is taller than 13 floors, that the 13th floor does not exist. Why? Because it's bad luck. And so either the elevator buttons will go from 12 to 14, they'll skip 13, or they will relabel number 13 because if they label it 13, it speaks something different about the hotel. It's bad luck. And in fact, one of the biggest creators of hotel or of elevators, some of the biggest manufacturers, will admit that the majority of the hotels for which they provide elevators do not have 13 floors. And so the idea that the 13th floor is something that is not addressed, it's not looked at, and it's not accessed. And I wonder if that's the way that we treat faith. That we ignore it, we don't access it, maybe we label it something different, but it is my hope in this series over the next month that we will stop passing up the 13th floor, that we're going to open up the doors and get off on the 13th floor and begin to access some deep things that God wants to do in your life. That the 13th floor is not the floor we get off of on Sunday, but what we do is we meet together, and as we begin to grow and get closer to the Lord, just in the presence of God together, that we would find ourselves going to work being on the 13th floor. We go to school on the 13th floor. That we operate in such a way that our faith is being activated in our everyday life. So what is faith, Pastor Dave? It's this. Look at this. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to put that back up on the screen, but I added in a few extra words. It says, faith is the assurance. It is the assurance. What's the assurance? It's the internal, this is what I believe. This is what I believe. It is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. What do we mean by conviction? It is the external, what I live by. If you're looking at faith as a two-sided coin, there is an internal action and there's an external action. But this is why I believe so many people get it wrong. It's because they leave faith in the first part. It is only internal. But this is the problem. We've got a lot of church people out there that say they believe in Jesus, but nobody looks like Jesus. We got people that say, I believe in the scriptures, but nobody reads the scriptures. We believe in worshiping, but we don't enter into worship. We don't get off on the 13th floor. We will say things. We say we possess it on the inside, but unless there is an external that meets with the internal, faith is actually incomplete. The 13th floor is an access. And so I want to dive into this today, and I want to give you what I'm going to call the simply the rules of faith. The rules of faith. I want to help you with a basic understanding of faith that may feel like it's basic, but I promise you, when we exercise faith, basic things don't happen in our lives. Because Jesus told us that even if we had the smallest little measure of faith, mountains can be moved. And if we can get our community moving in tiny seed-like faith, imagine the type of mountains that we could see moved in our community. The mountains we could see moved in our marriages and in our families, just moving in a measure of faith. So if you're taking notes, write down 1, 2, 3. Three rules of faith that I'm going to give you today to help you understand and grasp faith. Rule number one is this: God is our supply. God is our supply of faith. That's a huge thing to understand. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3 is one of my life scriptures. I love Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. I could quote it backwards, forwards, and in like three different translations. I love Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. But verses 2 says this, that Jesus is the author, one translation says, founder of our faith. I love that. We do this by keeping our eyes on him, the champion who initiates and perfects. Founder, author, initiator. Understand that you don't have to provide your own faith. Jesus begins it in your life. He is the supply. Pastor, would you pray for me to have more faith? Absolutely. I will pray for you, but more specifically, my prayer is that you would put your eyes on Jesus, because I can't give you faith. I'd love to come in and go bippity boppity boom, there you go, there's your faith. I can't do that, but guess what? I don't have to do that. You don't have to drum up your own faith, because Jesus has already authored it. Jesus will already initiate it. Just go after Jesus, get in proximity to Jesus, and your faith will grow. Faith comes by proximity. Can I tell you what? My marriage grows by proximity. My marriage doesn't grow because I wrote my wife a little email that says, hey, I love you. I'm sending out you to you a virtual hug. That may sound all great, but can I say that our love grows by proximity? And the more that we get in close proximity, the more that our love grows. And some of us, we spend so much time away from God, wondering why we feel far from God. He's not far from us, but we got to get our hearts in proximity. And when we get our hearts in proximity to God, he begins to supply us with faith. You don't have to supply yourself with faith. Jesus doesn't say, okay, go out and make things happen. Jesus says, follow me. Follow along. Come with me. Stick near me. And as we begin to see Jesus move, we begin to feel Jesus moving in here, and he supplies us with faith. Now, I will admit, like, one of my favorite things to do in the entire world, it's very relaxing to me. I love to cook. And my favorite cooking partner has always been my daughter, Cammie. Now, she would want me to tell you that she's 19. When I talk about my baby girl, it sounds like she's four. All right, she's 19. But I've loved doing that for years. She is an unbelievable chef, always has been. And there's a role that we've always had because I grew up in Christian programming like the Food Network. And so we watch the Food Network, and there is a rule of eating that is something that we've always held dear to, and it's this. Presentation is everything. It's more than just making good tasting food. It's got to look good. Why? Because this is what we hear chefs say all the time. We eat with our eyes first. And if something doesn't look pleasing, we don't eat it. Case in point, my great-grandma Hunt, old school Pentecostal lady, she threw away my dice in my Monopoly game because dice can make me lead to gambling. She made me flashcards from Monopoly. That's totally true. We had double flashcards. Hey, double 12. But I remember she tried getting me to eat squash. And so she would make it and puree it and serve it to me. And can I tell you that pureed squash is not the most pleasant thing in the world? And so from like 1980 on, I had never touched squash until my wife made it about 5 or 6 years ago in a completely different way. The way that Jesus would make it in the oven with brown sugar on top and butter and served. Jesus took the wheel. It was amazing. We eat with our eyes, don't we? And if something doesn't look pleasing, we don't engage. How many times have we based our faith by devouring interior what we see with the exterior? And we develop our faith based upon what we see. But if there's anything we learn in Scripture, it's this. We don't go by what we see. Man looks in the outward, God told Samuel. You're going to go anoint the new king, but don't judge by his exterior because he doesn't look like he's got it. When the children of Israel showed up to Jericho, they saw something that could not be toppled, walls that were insurmountable, and they could have went the other way and said, let's go back to Egypt. But there is a word that goes throughout Scripture, don't go by what you see, because we eat with our eyes and immediately think that we can't do it. But this is the beauty, is if we lean upon ourselves, we would never have the faith. But we don't have to lean upon ourselves. We lean upon the Lord. We get in proximity to Jesus, and when we do, he begins to give us faith so that when we see something that seems impossible, we're like, you know what? With man, that is impossible, but guess who I've got inside of me? The same spirit that raised Jesus from the grave lives in me. I've got faith. Faith. Man, y'all need to get off on the 13th floor and engage in faith. You don't have to drum it up. Jesus gives us faith. Write this down. Faith is believing before what will only make sense after. I wish y'all would get a hold of that. Faith is believing before what only makes sense after. I don't get why I'm launching out on forgiveness. I don't feel like forgiving him. It's a Packers fan. Sorry, Ken. It's a Cowboys fan. Pastor, do you know what he did to me? Do you know what that person did to our family or said about our family? Faith, it doesn't make sense to forgive in the moment because it feels good to hold on. Faith is believing before what only makes sense after. I act in kindness. I move in kindness. I move in this way. I pray in this way because it doesn't make sense in the present, but it does make sense on the other side. I know what my depression pushes me to do and what it pushes me to believe, but I know what happens after. So I act in the now. What only makes sense on the other side. I don't wait for the other side to come to me. I have Jesus with me. So therefore I begin to step out in the Jesus way, knowing that he will bring all things together for the good of those that love the Lord. I move before what only makes sense after. Does that make sense to anybody in the house today? So faith begins with the Lord. Faith begins. He is our supply. But I love what Hebrews chapter 12 says, that he is the initiator and the perfecter of our faith. That takes me to rule number two. Rule number two is simply this. God is able. He's not just the supply. He is able. What he starts, he carries. When he initiates, he supplies all the way through. He doesn't just initiate faith, but he continues to provide faith as we continue to move in the presence of God. See, God, I love the fact that God supplies, he initiates, he comes after us, and then he looks after us. Some of y'all need to get that in your spirit. He comes after us, giving us faith, and he continues to look after us as we continue to move in faith. He begins something, and he carries us through. We don't have to second guess the arrangements of God. We don't have to second guess. We just follow the Lord. And as we follow the Lord, he continues to carry us and to provide us through those things. Because when Peter is standing in the boat and Peter's like, listen, dude, call me out, Jesus. You're walking on water. I want to do that. And she says, come. Peter still had to step out and do what only makes sense on the other side. And he begins to step out. And as he begins to step out, he is carried through by the presence of God. Faith is how we live and move. In fact, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it is without faith, it is impossible to please God. Look at that. That's just a few verses after. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Whoever who would draw near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. In other words, when we move out in those two rules, what are our two rules? God will supply and he is able. That really comes to grips with what we just read. Without faith, it is impossible to please him because faith recognizes these two rules. And without faith, I will automatically do things my way. You know, the word sin is a Hebrew word that means to miss the mark. And we don't use that term nowadays, miss the mark. You know what we use? My way. Sin is really just doing things my way and not doing the way of the kingdom of God. And so when we ignore that God is the supply, the initiator, and God is able, when we circumvent that, that's when we truly miss. And that's why the Hebrew writer says, without faith, it's impossible to follow after God because we need him to initiate and we need him to carry us because we don't have it in and of ourselves. Our ways are not his ways. So Hebrews doesn't say, without faith, it's pretty hard to please God. It says that it is impossible to please God. The Greek word for impossible is to not be able or it can't be done. In other words, with faith, God is able. Without faith, we are not able. With God, with faith in God, he is able. Without faith, we are not able. And if I remember that God is my supply, then I know that God is able. When I know that God is the initiator and the supplier, I know that I'm able because I know it's not me. And sin is just deciding that God is not able and I have to do it. Now, I'm not talking about obedience. I'm talking about drumming up the faith. God gives us the faith, and he gives us the ability to move forward. So rule number one, God is our supply. Rule number two, God is able. Rule number three, write this down, go forward. Go forward in faith. God is able. God is our supply. God is able. Go forward in faith. When we know that God is in charge, we know that God is able. All we have to do is to go forward. Write this down. What God authors in your heart, he will finish with your life. What God initiates in your heart, he will finish with your life. He doesn't put something in you to stay stagnant. He puts something in you to grow you forward into that which he's called you to. I sat down with Pastor Kevin. I'm like, okay, you're the kids pastor. How do you make faith simple for kids? Because I've got a room full of older kids. How would you make this plain as day? And he gave me a Mario illustration. I'm like, I don't know if they're gonna know Mario. But then he says, well, the other one that I love to use is oxygen. I'm like, well, what does faith have to do with oxygen? He says, well, you don't see oxygen, do you? But you need it. But the only way to utilize what's around you is to actually engage with it. And he says, when you take it in and you respond and the like, it keeps the body moving. It keeps you alive. It keeps you flowing. And then is that not what faith is? As God authors faith in us, our lives finish what he has started. And faith is a way of living with God as our source and God as our focus. This is the way that we have been called to live. Scripture says this in 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, we walk in a way that says, God's gonna initiate and God's going to carry me, but I am gonna go in the direction that God has sent me. Write this down. Faith isn't blind, it's open-eyed obedience. God fills, God initiates, drives, but we still have to walk in obedience. I want you to go back. We're going to go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. My main point to this entire message, if there's anything that you're going to get today, I want it to be this thought here, that faith is the invitation and the activation of the kingdom of God. Faith is the invitation and the activation of the kingdom of God. The problem is this. For years that we say, well, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's a belief. But if we leave faith as a simple belief, but we never activate it in our life, it's not real faith. You can believe all you want, but until it is activated, it's not real faith. And in fact, if you look up the word faithless in scripture, faithless literally means acting without allegiance and design to the heart of the kingdom. In other words, you can believe things about the Bible, but until you begin to act in accordance with what the heart of God actually reflects, we're not really people of faith. In fact, in the Hebrew understanding, the Hebrew thought is this: I have what I do. Doing and having are never separate in Hebrew thought. What book are we reading? Hebrews. And the idea is not, I believe this, because for a Hebrew thought was, if you believe it, then you automatically do it, and they're combined. But for some reason in the Western world, we separate what we believe and what we do. And if we are going to be people that live on the 13th floor, that walk in faith, our lives, our faith is intrinsically combined with everything that we do, that we are in this place of invitation so that there could be activation in our hearts and lives. Why is this so important? Why is this so important for us to grasp in this initial message today? Because these are the baby steps that take a lifetime to learn. Because in every season I've ever gone through in life, I've had to come back to the place and not necessarily where I've been, but every new place, every new struggle, every new challenge, I've had to come to the place where I am inviting the Lord in and not simply going and doing what I've done before. Lord, I invite you here, not so that you can do it for me, but Lord, so I can step forward in faith and begin to activate that which you're doing in me. Lord, help us to be a church community that is not just an invitation of the presence of God, but we are activators. I invite and I activate. I invite and I activate. Not I invite on Sunday to activate for the week, but every morning that we would wake up and say, Spirit of God, I invite you in. Initiate a new level of faith. Begin to do something here. But that's where faith is completed, because as we invite it here, we begin to step out and activate it. Well, Pastor Dave, isn't there faith without activation? It doesn't exist. It's both. Now, Scripture says that we're not saved by works, we are saved by faith. But that's the kicker. We're saved by faith, but faith always has an activation behind it. There is a reason why when I have everyone bow their heads and close their eyes at the end of the service, I want people looking just introspectively. And there's another reason why I have people lift up their hands that are deciding to follow Jesus. There's something about the activation of our bodies and our lives that solidifies that which we believe. It's faith. And without activation, the invitation is simply left null. In fact, James would say it this way, James 2:17, faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. We are not saved by works, but works that is not connected to faith, it's dead. Well, I love my wife. Have you shown it? She's got the marriage certificate. That's not enough. My kids, I don't have to tell them that I love them. They just know it. Do they? Invitation, activation. What is it we do on Sundays when we come together and we worship? It's invitation. And when people start lifting up their hands, what are they doing? It's activation. When we hear the word being preached, what is it? It's invitation. Not so they could, we could walk away and say, man, that guy yells and sweats a lot. No. It's so that we walk away and say, God, what you talked about in Hebrews 11, I want the assurance inside of me of what I hope for. But more than assurance, I want the conviction of things not seen. What does that mean? I want to start being a man of conviction where I move in ways that reflect what I have grasped. That, my friends, is living on the 13th floor. Because faith doesn't eliminate the things around us. It shows you how to handle it. Write that down this morning. Faith doesn't eliminate struggles. Pastor, I gave my heart to Jesus. Why am I going through so many struggles? I gave my heart to Jesus. Why am I? It seems like I'm facing so many things. Well, number one, because the enemy doesn't want you to move in faith. Number two, because when you're taking steps forward, there's going to be struggles. That's just a part of life. But faith doesn't eliminate it. It helps you to move through them. It helps you to move and navigate through them so that when you're facing that marriage situation, it's like, God, I need you to initiate faith because I don't know what I'm dealing with. I don't know how to face it. I don't know how to navigate. But Lord, you can initiate and you can carry me through. And I can begin to step out in things as though they were, even though I don't see them yet. That is, friends, initiate. Initiate, activate, and I live in a place of faith. Would you bow your heads with me?